Mr. Davis, how are you today?
Hi, very well. How are you?
I'm fine. Rodrigo Davis, you have a very relevant experience about crowdfunding, and that's the reason why we want to interview you on this topic. But before we begin, I would like to introduce you to our listeners, and please correct me if I'm wrong. So you're currently an employee of Neboli, which is a startup based in San Francisco, and you are at the same time a research assistant at the MIT Center for Civic Media. And you hold a master's degree from the MIT in comparative media studies. And you are also a PhD student at the at Stanford University, I think, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So my first question, Mr. Davies, is how would you best find crowdfunding, and could you tell us about its origins?
So I would define crowdfunding as the coming together of a group of people to finance a project. In a way where everybody is aware of who is involved. So it could be using an online platform where you can see what state the project is at and who else is contributing. Or it could occur in an offline way, say at an event, for example. Mm-hmm. And I mention that because most people associate the origins of crowdfunding with Kickstarter and Indiegogo, perhaps, in 2008. 2007, and there are a couple of earlier music crowdfunding platforms from the early 2000s. But I would say that this practice of bringing people together to raise money for a goal in this highly collaborative fashion can be traced back probably millennia. Communities have been very good at getting together to raise money for projects. Mm-hmm. It's really as old as time in that sense. But if you're looking for a historical example of something that looks like a modern-day crowdfunding campaign, uh-huh. The best one I found was actually a campaign in 1885 to raise money for the platform on which the Statue of Liberty stands now in New York.
Oh.
And that was a campaign started by Joseph Pulitzer, the person who the Pulitzer Prize is named after. That's a really fascinating example of how you could use media to bring people together in this way.
Okay. And what core values and principles are at the heart of crowdfunding?
I think probably the most important core principle is mutual visibility of donors. Uh-huh. So when you make a donation, you're aware of how many other people have given to the campaign, how much the campaign has raised at that point. I say that because there's a concept in political science of pluralistic ignorance, which is the mistaken belief that most people have that they're acting alone. You know, it's one of the reasons why people perhaps don't go on the street to protest, is because they think they might be the only one who feels a certain way. But once you show people that there are others around them who agree, it's very empowering and very motivating.
Okay.
So that would be the number one principle, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I'm closely followed by, I think, urgency. So crowdfunding campaigns usually come together because there is a need to realize a project, but also a need to do it at this specific moment.
Uh-huh.
And so that idea that time is limited and there's an urgency and a kind of an occasion to do something, I would say is probably the second most important core principle.
Okay. So, regarding success of this that kind of funding, why do you think this kind of fundraising has become so popular, or is it perceived by the general public?
Well, I think there's an interesting phenomenon, which is crowdfunding has become an umbrella term for many different types of activity.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, I think the popularity was motivated by, say, President Obama's success in using small donations. Even though his campaign, you know, the deciding factor was really big money, the public perception is that the small donations that that the Obama campaign raised and the small dollar donations really helped to communicate the fact that everybody was important to the campaign, that small money matters just as much as big money. So I think you have that strand, which is a kind of motivating force. And I think, you know, whether or not you agree that the Obama campaign was about crowdfunding, mm-hmm. I've talked to so many folks involved in crowdfunding who cite that as an influence on them that I think it is important. So you have that sort of empowering of small money on the one hand. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, you have the fact that lots of kind of developers of new products, often technology, have realized that crowdfunding could be a great way to fund their ventures effectively through pre-sale. Mm-hmm. So really what you're doing is, you know, just promising to deliver the product to someone at a later date. And these two types of activity, the one being the sort of empowering of somebody's voice through a small donation and the other being a much more commercial enterprise, mm-hmm. are both called crowdfunding at the current moment. And so it's a big tent, if you like, in which there are a lot of different types of activity, and I think that's why it's so successful.
Okay. My last question: Do you think crowdfunding could be a sustainable way of financing the development of health or social innovations? Are there any risks related to it? For instance, risk for the project continuity of targets or not being reached, and so on.
I think that it can be a good way to fund new ideas that perhaps are slightly riskier or would be harder to get funding for in other ways. Uh-huh. I think it's an excellent way to test an idea and perhaps pilot a project. Whether it can provide recurring revenue, I'm not so sure about that. Uh-huh. Because, as I said earlier, crowdfunding tends to be based on the sense of urgency and a kind of moment to do something.
Right.
Having said all of that, I have heard, you know, often people say, well, you know, public funding is what should support these projects because we can rely on public funding and crowdfunding is too subject to the weather or the fashion. That's true to some extent, but we shouldn't forget that public funding can also be incredibly fickle. And can change, and you know, projects can be funded, and then funding can be dropped. And so it's not quite so easy as to say, let's just allow public funding for this, and it will be okay. In both cases, you need, you know, sustainable plans for how something is going to be financed going forward.
So, Rodrigo Davies, thank you for granting us this very interesting interview, and have a good day in San Francisco.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.